Fantastic. Hello, everyone. It is 7:01. And what is the date, Dave? Tuesday, May 26th. I can't remember the date. I will call the city council meeting to order, and I will start with the pledge. The Pledge of Allegiance, that is. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you all very much, and again, welcome. I believe the clerk is there somewhere. Clerk, are you here?
Yes, I am.
Oh, there, same place. You're almost always in the same place, which is number one on the list. Okay, could you start with a roll call, please?
Koch?
Here.
Stranzier?
Here.
Milshewski?
Here.
Bocher?
Here.
Funkhauser?
Here.
Frieders?
Here.
Chiroulis?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
We have a quorum.
We have a full house. That is awesome. Okay. Are there any amendments to the agenda? Seeing none, are there any presentations? There's no one here with any presentations. Well, we get to have another public hearing. So at this point, I need to open the public hearing for the proposed downstate small business stabilization applicants funded by Community Development Block Grant, CDBG funds. The total amount of CDBG funds to be requested is $200,000 and will address the urgent need of the business due to the COVID-19 emergency on the following applications. Centers for Foot and Ankle Surgery Limited, DBA, Foot and Ankle Centers, Crusade Burger LLC, Fast Burrito Inc., Ginger and Soul Inc., H&M Corporation, NCG Yorkville Inc., NDB Enterprises Inc., DBA Sunfield Restaurant, and Taekwondo Korea Center Inc. We have opened the public hearing, and first I will ask if there is anyone in public. Just so you're aware, there is actually one member of the public here today, and then there's Bart, there's JJ, and there's KFO. She's our attorney. So, does any member of the public here wish to speak? There was a nod of the head no. Now I will ask, is there anyone out in video land who would like to speak to this? If so, just please wave. Say, yeah, I guess you'd have to say something so I could hear you first. Who is that? Could you state your name, please? Oh, he's on mute. One moment, please. Everyone's on mute now.
You might be able to unmute yourself by pressing the button. Yeah, there you go.
Okay, please state your name for the record.
Gerardo Paz Burrito, Inc.
Thank you. Is there anything you want to say?
I say hi.
Hola. Gracias.
Oh, de nada. You're welcome.
Buenas tardes.
Buenas tardes.
Excellent. Anyone else have anything they'd like to offer for the public hearing? Remember, again, Bart will go through these under the mayor's report in a little more detail, but this is the public hearing.
We have to do it under the public hearing.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have to do it under the public hearing. Okay, well, I'll give everyone a chance to speak one more time before I turn it over to Bart. Did someone else want to speak? I'm hearing some people, but I'm not sure who. I see we have a Dodgers fan there. Okay, I will turn it over to Bart at this point. Thank you. It'll be just one moment. Bart, that's pretty cool. You're walking around and we get to see you. It's like one of those YouTubers.
Yeah. world's worst YouTubers, maybe, but I appreciate it.
You're a damn good administrator, though.
All right, let me share my screen here, so just bear with me for a second. Okay, did everybody see that?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, so we have the public hearing for the Downstate Small Business Stabilization Program. And again, this is a state grant program set up to offset the impact of COVID-19 virus, and it provides businesses up to 60 days of verifiable working capital up to $25,000. So again, the eligibility criteria here is that you have to have been open since January of 2017 with no business. Having changed, you can't be a franchise, you have to have less than 50 employees, et cetera. The rest of the requirements are on the screen there. So the only requirement is that you have to maintain your business and remain open for 60 days after the funding is awarded, and you have to use the funds for working capital. And the amount of the loan grant is based on the actual business expenses. So we do have 8 applications in this round, which is our second round. They're all on the screen, and we'll get into each one of the businesses here in just a minute. So out of these 8 businesses, they are requesting $25,000 each for a grand total of $200,000. Okay, so the next 8 slides on this presentation give detailed information about each business, including the amount of funds that they're requesting, what they're going to use the funds for, and the impact that COVID-19 has had on their business. These detailed slides have been available on the city website and in the city council packet since Thursday, May 21st. I'm going to show each one of the slides on the screen, and rather than read the slide verbatim, I'm going to summarize each business's information as follows: the name of the business, the amount of funds that are requested by the business, the list of activities that will be undertaken with grant funding, and how the business and community can be benefited through the grant. At the end of my narrative on the businesses, the public hearing will be open for resident comments, and residents can provide any comment on any of the 8 businesses. The mayor is going to control the order of public comment at that time. So each business has been asked to attend this meeting remotely, and we have 1 in person. And they're going to be prepared to answer questions posed by the city council or the public slot by the mayor. So in addition to the narrative on each business, the state is asked to comment about a detailed prioritized list of community development and housing needs during the public hearing. The following narrative applies to every one of the 8 businesses at the public hearing this evening. COVID-19 has decimated the business community and employment numbers in the region and in the state to degrees included in each of the business applications and is narrated in this public hearing. First, the city's comprehensive plan update discusses the importance of a healthy business community in order to improve quality of life, specifically commercial retail development. In section 2, community characteristics and land use trends, the comprehensive plan states there's a defined need for a more consistent, cohesive approach to attracting and retaining retail and commercial services, especially in the downtown, where sustained efforts in supporting and incubating businesses should be the focus of economic development. Second, in the same section of the city's comprehensive plan, it discusses that housing count and household growth is key to attracting new retail development. Any loss of business in the community is going to cause the existing residential base to be underserved. So our first business, Centers for Foot and Ankle Surgery Limited, DBA Foot and Ankle Centers, is requesting $25,000 for working capital, including payroll, rent, utilities, telecommunications, inventory, and overhead expenses. The Foot and Ankle Centers has been open since January 1st, 1999, and has 18 employees. Since the start of the pandemic, the center has had to furlough staff and go to partial shifts. Funding will help them maintain their 15 employees and provide care treatment for local patients. Crusade Burger Bar LLC is requesting $25,000 for working capital, including payroll. Crusade has been in Yorkville since June of 2016 and had a total of 38 full-time equivalent employees, 43 part-time, 25 full-time employees prior to the pandemic. The COVID-19 pandemic has resulted in a loss of around 60% of their normal revenues. Funding will help them retain employees until they are able to restart indoor dining. Fast Burrito Incorporated is requesting $25,000 for working capital, including payroll, rent, and utilities. Fast Burrito has been established since March 2005 and has 5 employees. Since the start of the pandemic, sales have decreased significantly as indoor dining is prevented. Funding will help them retain employees and continue takeout operations until they are able to restart indoor dining. Ginger and Soul Incorporated is requesting $25,000 for working capital, payroll, supplies, rent, and utilities. Ginger and Soul has been in business since February 2015 and has 5 employees along with seasonal help. Sales have decreased significantly since indoor dining was prohibited and catered events have been canceled by organizers. Funding will help them maintain all their employees on payroll as well as acquire supplies needed to perform carryout until indoor dining is allowed. H&M Corporation, known as Butcher Block 360, is requesting $25,000 for working capital, including payroll, rent, and utilities. H&M Corporation has been in Yorkville since 2008 and has 6 employees. Since the pandemic began, they have seen an 80% loss in revenue and are open limited hours for curbside pickup. Funding will help them with paying rent, payroll, utilities until indoor dining can resume. NCG Yorkville is requesting $25,000 for working capital, including payroll and operations. NCG Theaters has been open in Yorkville since 2013 and has been closed since March 2020, resulting in a total loss of income. Funding will be used for employees and operations of the business when they are allowed to reopen. NDB Enterprises Incorporated, doing business as Sunfield Restaurant, is requesting $25,000 for working capital, including payroll, utilities, equipment, maintenance, and supplies. Sunfield Restaurant has been in business since 1998 and has been closed since March 2020, since they are not set up for pickup or delivery orders. Funding will allow them to pay their employees, utilities, and provide for equipment, building maintenance, and supplies for the business to open again. Taekwondo Korea Center Incorporated is requesting $25,000 for working capital, including payroll, rent, utilities, insurance, and merchant services. Taekwondo Korea Center was founded in April 2014 and has been conducting online training only since the end of March. Since then, they have seen an increase in monthly memberships and cancellations. Funding will allow them to continue paying rent and utilities and to maintain payroll during closure and after reopening. That's all 8 businesses. The notice of the public hearing was published in the Beacon on May 19th, and all the materials have been available at the city website link here. And so the city council has to discuss a resolution of support during this meeting, further down on the mayor's report, and then a participation agreement will be signed between the business and the city after this meeting. And that wraps up my speech.
Thank you, Bart. Again, this is the public hearing. Are there any other comments for the public hearing portion? Hearing and seeing none, I have closed the public hearing. Thank you very much. Thank you, Bart. Next, citizen comments on agenda items. Are there any citizen comments on agenda items? Seeing none, hearing none, we'll move on. No consent agenda, I apologize. We do have minutes for approval from the regular city council meeting of April 28th, the regular city council meeting from May 12th, and the special city council meeting from May 19th. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
I think that was Jackie and Ken, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
I like that. Yes, sir. I like that. Thank you. Okay. Any corrections or changes? We'll do this by voice. All in favor, signify by yes.
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 All opposed, signify by no. Motion passes. Thank you very much. Next, we have bill payments. Could I get a motion for the following bill payments? For $311,341.41 for vendors for FY20, $800,854.12 for FY21, $290,464.07 for payroll ending 515, for a total of $1,402,659.60.
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Funkhauser, and who was the second?
Peterson.
Mr. Peterson, thank you both. Any questions or comments on this? Roll call, please.
Hope?
Yes.
Olszewski?
Yes.
Bunkhauser?
Yes.
Chrulis?
Yes.
Sanzio?
Yes.
Clocher?
Yes.
Frieders? Peterson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you all very much. Now we're on to the mayor's report. And I do have a couple items not listed. First is regarding, not just the restaurant, not the restaurants here, but all the businesses we're supporting today. I appreciate what staff's done. But then more specifically, regarding the restaurants and bars having the ability to open up a little bit more, I want to thank the staff, and it started with Bart, within an hour of the governor's announcement that the businesses were allowed to open up. Bart had typed up an email and sent it out to staff asking for their input on different ways we can assist, and the staff responded. In fact, I didn't read all the emails. There were so many emails and so much detail. So, Chris, I know you're ashamed of me for not reading every one, but I did. But they did a tremendous job, and everyone had input on this, so I'm very appreciative of it, and I've heard a lot of positive comments, and people say thank you to me, and I tell them I had nothing to do with it, just the staff did a great job. And Kathy and Lynn, too, put a ton of effort into this. Kathy got the legal stuff together, and Lynn, have you slept at all, Lynn? I know you don't sleep now, but you don't sleep too much as it is, but did you sleep at all the last week? No, she's saying no. I can't hear her.
No sleeping, just emailing, and texting.
Well, that makes you happy, though, actually. We know you love that. So, but thank you all. So that's the first thing. And the next thing is I'm going to read you all a little email I received from a member of the public. And my response, and I know this is probably going to be a challenge over the Zoom meeting, but I thought you might want to hear this. And if you don't, you can hear it anyway. Okay, so I received this email yesterday Memorial Day. And here's how it went. Hi, John, happy Memorial Day. I am old Whitesboro guy, married Carol Hastings 61 years ago, worked at Voss's during high school. This note is not a complaint, but it is a lament that there are a few folk around disrespect the vast majority of us who want to make opening businesses a continued process. A few days ago, I took my wife and me to Voss's for burgers and barbecue. The car was full of lots, so great to see. It was wonderful outside. I would guess customers did not have to wait more than 1 minute. Great for Voss's, great for Yorkville. Now the problem. All but two had masks on and followed the rules. In my view, they were flaunting the 50 or more citizens who obeyed the law. Now to the two without masks. I can appreciate it that Voss employees are not expected to enforce the law. The signs are very visible as customers must wear masks. That's the rules. I think it would help if the local police could spend 10 minutes per hour just hanging around congratulating customers for having a good time obeying the rules. I think Yorkville could set a great social and community support by showing you are behind us all. I'd love to view a TV news clip showing Yorkville leading the way. Thanks, Bob Wheeler. And my response was, Bob, happy Memorial Day to you, and thank you for your email. Though I've never been to Voss's, I've read some great reviews. Not sure which route you take, but if you're driving by Burger King to get there, you must be a huge fan of their burgers. Maybe 32 years ago, while in college, a few buddies and I drove through that area on our way to Killington in Vermont for a ski trip, and I still remember to this day what a lovely area that is. As far as the Hastings family, I'm sure they are a great family, though I've never had the pleasure of meeting any of them personally. Being married 61 years is a testament to the character of you and your Hastings wife. Congratulations. As far as your suggestion for a TV clip, I'm not much into videos. Hard to believe for a politician, isn't it? And though I do have an Irish last name, I am the mayor of Yorkville, Illinois. From what I'm reading, Michael Mahoney is a Yorkville, New York mayor. I believe he has been copied on the email. Thank you again for reaching out to me today. It made my day that much better. Feel free to reach out to me or call me. So he got the wrong mayor and sent me a nice lengthy letter, and I had to send him a nice lengthy response. He was looking for the mayor of New York, or Yorkville, New York, and I know it's a waste of your time, but it was just something fun. Yesterday, when it was all hectic, I took the time to type up a nice email, and he responded back, next time I'm in town, we can have a burger together. So that's my mayor's report. I know it should be more serious than this, but you know what? Sometimes you have to have a little levity, and I think most of you know I do. Most of the time.
Your Honor?
Who is that?
Ken.
Ken, Mr. Cook.
I actually was in Yorkville, New York.
Did you go to Voss's?
Well, we went to the baseball Cooperstown.
That's outstanding. Well, and to make it even better, this guy was from Utica. I could have said from Utica, and you would all have thought, oh, okay, he came from Utica, but I don't know where Voss's is. I had to do a little research. There's a Burger King on the way from his town to Voss's. So, anyway, thank you very much. Now we're on to the real business of the mayor's report.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
Okay, so, what do I have? I have two motions here, is that correct?
Where's
yes.
This?
Yes.
One way the public hearing requirement, and then the other.
Oh, yes.
The nice chart.
Okay, the first one, I think Mr. Funkhauser, did I hear you make a motion pursuant to ordinance 2013-31, a motion to waive the procedural rule not to vote on items at the same meeting at which the public hearing on the matter has taken place?
So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
By Milshewski. Okay. We'll do a roll call on this because I think it takes 2/3.
No.
Well, either way, we're going to do a roll call, please.
Majority, really? Isn't it?
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Sterula?
Yes.
Tanzier?
I don't know. I don't
yes.
remember.
Closure?
Yes.
Frieders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you all very much. Mr. Peterson, I like that world map behind you there.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Maybe one of these meetings you can point out to us all the countries you visited. Be a little geography lesson.
I can do that.
Excellent. Next, we have, or I would like, and I will read these, and I'll read the amounts this time for the clerk. Is that correct, Ms. Clerk?
Yes, thank you, Your Honor.
Or should I say Ms. Clerk? I apologize. My pleasure. Okay, I'm looking for a motion to approve resolutions of support for Community Development Block Grant Program grants for the following. 2020-39 Centers for Foot and Ankle Surgery, DBA Foot and Ankle Centers for $25,000. 2020-40 for Crusade Burger LLC for $25,000. 2040-1 Fast Burrito Inc. for $25,000. 2042 for Ginger and Soul Inc. for $25,000. 2043 H&M Corp. or Corporation for $25,000. 2044 NCG Yorkville Inc. for $25,000. 2045 MDB Enterprises Inc. DBA Sunfield Restaurant for $25,000. And 2046 for Taekwondo Korea Center Inc. for $25,000. So they're all for $25,000, just to make that clear for the record. I'm looking for that motion.
So moved.
I think I heard Peterson, and then I think I heard Tarulis. Did I hear Tarulis?
I heard Tarulis too.
Nice! He gets a second on that one. That's fantastic. Thank you, Seaver. I feel bad I can never see you at these meetings. Okay, so to be clear now, this is a total of $200,000 on top of the $400,000 we did last time. I am not advocating that you shouldn't do anything on this, but I want to be clear. If every single one of them, plus every single one of the last ones, got approved for the $25,000, and every single one of them were not open for at least 60 days, the city could be on the hook for $200,000. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yes. We don't expect that. But I just want to lay that out there as a very, very minimal possibility, but that could happen. So, having said that, are there any comments or questions from the council? Mr. Breeders.
Yeah, just one more comment. Like I said last meeting, I don't think it's appropriate that we would have to kind of vet each of these businesses. As long as they meet the criteria, I'm happy to support. But I also want to throw out the comment that I'm pretty inspired with the way the Yorkville businesses have managed to pivot and sometimes kind of reinvent the stuff that they've been selling for years, not really realizing that people were interested in delivery or curbside pickup. Out of the eight businesses I'm here, I think I've spent a decent amount of money at a few of them. So just to the greater Yorkville business community, you're kicking rear end. And when this thing is all over, I'm looking forward to a really, really big Yorkville party that might have margaritas in the town square to make up for the fact that the mayor's margarita party was canceled due to a global pandemic. So he's the first Yorkville mayor to ever have a margarita, inaugural margarita party canceled by a global pandemic. So congratulations to the mayor on that too. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Breeders, in response to that, I appreciate your support, and I hope I'm the only mayor who ever has an inaugural margarita event canceled by a global pandemic. Any other comments from council or city council? Not council, like the attorney. Well, we do have an attorney too, so he could double up here. Anyone else? Okay, seeing none, we'll do a roll call vote.
Tom Counselor?
Yes.
Cerullo?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Welcher?
Yes.
Breeders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Fantastic. Thank you all so very much. And good luck to the businesses. I don't know what the state's going to do. I don't know what their time frame is, but we got your back 100%. So thank you all. Onward we go to skid steer trade-in and purchase of new models. That's still under mayor's report? Yeah, sure is. I'll be darned. Okay. Thank you. Have a good evening. Could I have a motion to authorize the trade-in of a Bobcat S750 skid steer, serial number A3P212065, for $17,000, and approve a purchase of a Bobcat S76 skid steer, an amount not to exceed $51,507, from Atlas Bobcat of Elk Grove Village through Sourcewell Contract 040319-CEC. I think I heard Freeders and, oh, it says Dan, Transier. Any discussion on this from council? No? Eric, you said this has a 5-year warranty as well?
Yeah, we did. We asked them to include that. There was an extra $1,600, but I believe it's well worth it. We've spent far more than that on continual maintenance on our old one, so I think we will save that money.
So, and the unit we have now is, what is it, how many, 12 or 14 years old or something like that?
It's like 9 years old.
Nine, okay.
But it's got the hours on it of like a 13-year-old machine.
Okay.
It's a constant.
Well, thanks for saving me on that. I appreciate that. So, but this is a good value, you think, too, Eric, correct?
Absolutely. This is probably about $15,000 under list price of what, like, if I could walk in and buy it off the street. They have a great governmental program, and I'm glad we can take advantage of that.
Excellent. And one last question. When will this be delivered?
We can get it with, if it's not actually, if there's not a model on the ground, it will take 6 weeks to build.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Funkhauser, did you have a question?
Just one comment. With our current state of affairs, with everything we have with our finances, we've made other cuts right now. I think that this is something I'd rather wait on. I know it's a good price, but I think the government pricing will still be there. I think that this is something I know they could use, but I think for being sensitive to the budget, I would recommend we delay this and wait on it. That's my preference.
Thank you for those comments. Mr. Frieders, did I see your hand?
Yeah, actually, I agree with Funkhauser, but at the same time, seeing as it's coming continually, the last thing I want to do is have to buy something when we aren't planning for it. And at least this is something that immediately we'll get use out of it. Also, the fact that we tend to have the worst luck, so I'm more than okay with throwing a warranty on there, because I'm pretty sure that at least two specific repairs will cost double what that warranty would cost. I'm both in supportive of Funkhauser's long-term vision, but also at the same time know that it's almost like an immediate need, or it will be, if not today, but almost tomorrow afternoon. So that's just my opinion.
Thank you. Other council members? Just one last question, Eric, or Rob, or Bart, whichever one of you. How much did we have in the budget for a forklift?
We had originally...
The skid steer.
We had originally budgeted $85,000.
And this nets to about $35,000?
About $35,000, yes.
So to Mr. Funkhauser's point, we are still saving $50,000 versus what we budgeted.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Cerullo?
Yes.
Shamsier?
Yes.
Kosher?
Yes.
Breeders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
No.
Motion carries.
Thank you all very much. Good discussion. I appreciate it. Next, and I'll let Kathy talk about this a little bit, or Bart, one of the two of them, but I'm looking for a motion to approve an ordinance approving outdoor restaurant sales and liquor servicing during the pandemic and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute. Okay, I heard Transier and then Frieders. Okay, who wants to explain this one? Kathy does. Thank you.
Most recently, the governor's executive order entered us into phase three of the Restore Illinois, which permits restaurants and food services, both with liquor and without liquor, to be conducted out of doors. Most of our restaurants are primarily indoors. We have liquor restaurants and bars which serve liquor, licensed to serve both indoors and out of doors. The purpose of this ordinance that's before you is to allow all restaurants and bars, whether or not they serve liquor indoors or out of doors, to be granted a license only until December 31st, 2020, to serve out of doors with certain restrictions. The restrictions are listed in your ordinance, and I would say they're fairly general. They have to own, lease, or license, and the license term is very relevant when you get to section two. They have to, their operations cannot interfere with their neighbors. They have to be safe. They must, their area must be approved by the city administrator or his designee. And in that way, the city will have some control to make sure that where they want to serve in the outdoor area will not conflict with neighbors and should be safe. They must maintain it at all times, and they must provide insurance. Now, the important part of this ordinance is actually Section 2. Section 2 allows the mayor to enter into a temporary non-exclusive license agreement for any city-owned property that might safely be used by a restaurant with or without liquor. And so we will be preparing, assuming you pass this ordinance tonight, a license agreement which will be automatically approved because it would be authorized for the mayor to execute. The license agreement would require insurance, indemnification, and various other aspects about their operation and the ability of the city to cancel this lease agreement if there's any default or for any reason the city should determine the use of the property is no longer beneficial or such property is more importantly reserved for public use. So that's basically it. We have tried to keep it simple so that staff could organize it and work with it, because as you can believe, each and every one of these establishments is in a different physical location with different issues and different problems. So we're asking the city administrator to really take charge of it and make sure that what's put into play works.
Thank you, Kathy. I had to slide back in there. So, are there any questions for Kathy from the council? Mr. Transier.
I believe I heard you say that this is valid until July 31st.
No,
December.
I said December 31st, which is, and we have had seasons where you were able to eat outside in December. Of course, the weather will dictate when, in fact, these operations close, but we'll give them the benefit of good weather.
And assuming that the state rescinds all of these restrictions, this can be, withdrawn once these businesses are able to operate at full capacity inside?
An ordinance may always be repealed, and the opportunity to serve out of doors could immediately be rescinded.
They already have something in that arrangement
right,
already.
Right. My concern is when everything is lifted, that perhaps the public areas some of these restaurants and bars want to use will now be required for parking for adjacent businesses that are in full operation. And that is the only thing I think could possibly impact the opening and the removal of all restrictions to businesses.
Thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome.
Other questions or comments from the city council?
Good job.
I don't have anything specific for Kathy, but if we have general comments, can I make those?
Please do.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just wanted to kind of high-five all of you for realizing where we can kind of pitch in and where we should kind of draw the line physically. I think it's a beautiful idea to not only kind of loosen the belt a little bit, but make sure that we're kind of following a standard of ensure that we don't have people eating and then getting squished by moving vehicles. And I also think the discussion around the East Alley, I think, is probably going to be the largest source of surprise, because those business owners over there have been dealing with a strange pinch point ever since the 47 construction. But I also think this is an opportunity, since we don't have a lot of space indoors in some of those places, to kind of allow some of these businesses to stretch out and continue this run of creative and inventive ways of kind of redeveloping your own business model. Because, well, in the global pandemic, we shouldn't be hanging out and hugging. So I think what we're going to see in the East Alley is probably going to be the most demonstrative of how creative we're going to get. Not to say that those guys on the West Alley can't figure out something cool as well. I just think that Yorkville taking the first step to make sure that we're going to have that parking kind of extended a little bit. We've already got the old bank building, the Van Emmon Center for that parking. So we'll have plenty of parking downtown. So even though, yes, it's going to be a little bit crazy with some of these businesses reinventing themselves and the social distancing and stuff like that, this is a perfect opportunity to make sure that you go to the bathroom before you go downtown, go with a meal in your belly, and then be prepared to spend some money to see businesses kind of reopen and kind of bring back the life to Yorkville, because we're going to have some really strange changes downtown and all around the city, but more specifically from where we're having our festivals and stuff like that. So this is a great time to make sure that you're continually reinvesting in the community where you can. And again, I thank the city administrator and the attorney for taking such time and attention into what we can do to help as a city. But then also a super special high five to Lynn Dubacek. I know she hasn't slept in nine weeks, but I received two compliments from people that have never actually complimented me before. And I was like, well, all right. So again, high five to Lynn for not only communicating with businesses locally that, yeah, there's some strange stuff coming, but I don't know if anybody saw the original application for that downstate grant. That was really confusing. So the fact that she kind of rewrote it and made it so that humans could, understand and comprehend it, I think that it goes without saying that, Lynn, you're a champ, and I greatly appreciate it. Just for the friends of mine that are business owners in town, you are a great help. So high five, and I think we should all high five her, but 6 feet apart.
Very nice. Well said. Thank you. Other comments from City Council?
Mayor?
Please, Mr. Funkhauser.
So we have a couple things. The outdoor license for the liquor, we have the parklet ordinances. Do we have any conflicts that have been created through just this allowance, or does this just supersede temporarily any of those provisions that we would have?
It supersedes any of those provisions for the period until December 31st, 2020.
Okay, thank you for that.
Other questions or comments? Okay, we will do a roll call, please.
Hands here.
Yes.
That one down.
Osher?
Yes.
Breeders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Yes.
Polk?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Tarulis?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you all. Thank you for your support. And I know the businesses are very grateful. They really are. So thank you. Next, we have City Administrator Employment Agreement. Is there a motion to approve an employment agreement between the United City of Yorkville and Bart Olson and authorize the mayor and the city clerk to execute?
So moved.
Second.
Seaver and was that Plocher? Nice, the quiet ones. Excellent. Okay, any questions or comments on this? Did you? I take that as a, he must have been saying no, no comment. Okay, we'll do a roll call, please.
Archer?
Yes.
Breeders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Yes.
Polk?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Tarulis?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you, and thank you all. It's been a good year. Bart and I get along real well now. At least I think we do. I don't know what his opinion is, but I believe it is that. So thank you all very much. And he's done an outstanding job. And I said that earlier, and he really has. And I tell that to people all the time. I say, you know what? This guy's doing a great job. So I appreciate it very much. Now, a couple comments on the mayor's report that came up. And I make notes sometimes, and I made a couple notes. First of all, Mr. Frieders, when you were talking about loosening the belt, I can tell you I've had to do that the last few weeks. Man, I'm putting on the pounds. And I'm probably going to put on the pounds some more, and I will need to loosen the belt another notch. But that was... Yeah, thank you, thank you. It's all about the TV. It all makes you look 30 pounds lighter, apparently. That's the new TV. And then the other thing is, Tim Evans. How you doing, Tim? You've been kind of quiet. Unmute, Tim.
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, Tim, can you say one more thing so everyone can see you?
Hello, everyone.
Okay, I want you to know Tim got the memo to wear a twinsie shirt with the mayor. Check that out. He was the only one who got the memo.
Great minds think alike.
So, anyway, thank you very much, Tim. That's really all I had for Tim right now. Excellent. Now we're to public works. Someone else gets to talk besides myself. Mr. Plocher. Please.
Water department reports. A motion to approve the water department reports for January, February, and March 2020.
Is there a second?
Second.
Nice, Mr. Frieders. Hearing no discussion, all in favor, signify by aye.
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 Opposed?
Yes.
Motion carries. Excellent. Please continue.
A motion to approve a supplemental MFT resolution for the purchase of fall rock salt and authorize the city clerk to execute.
So moved.
Okay, Mr.
Second.
Okay, however you want to figure that out, Lisa, I'll let you make the call on that.
Motion by Fletcher, second by Peterson.
Perfect. And Eric, do you want to talk about this? Rob, do you want to talk about this just briefly? Rob, how about Rob? Because Rob has said nothing yet.
All right, Rob, you go. Well, this is a resolution to approve salt purchases out of the motor fuel tax fund, of which we have $175,000 budgeted for FY21.
Thank you. Anything we need to add, Eric?
No, other than we only have to take 80%, which is what we usually shoot for, so it would be less than the budgeted amount to try to save.
Excellent. Any questions or comments from council? Roll call, please.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Olszewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Chirulis?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Clocher?
Yes.
Breeders?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Excellent, thank you.
Hey. A motion to approve an ordinance authorizing conveyance of real estate for highway purpose, 0.095 acres of land at 1975 North Bridge Street, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Is there a second? Second by Milshewski. Okay. Who wants to talk about this? Bart, Eric?
Eric,
you've been volunteering.
No problem. This is a very small sliver of land on the far east side of 1975 North Bridge. It's what we commonly call a countryside. So this is just the final right-of-way that IDOT needs to do for the ultimate widening of Route 40.
Any questions or comments? So whoever's picking up the train horn down here, it's pretty interesting. I get it on the mic there. We need a dang quiet
zone. That's a darn train!
It's, and then I get it up here too. I get
train horn.
Quiet zone.
No. No.
No.
You before you. It's part of
it. I love it. I didn't even hear.
Okay. Well, I can hear it here too. I just have excellent hearing, like a rabbit. So.
You're used to it when you live up the block.
Any other questions on this? We're getting, what did we say, $8,000? And this came out of, wouldn't we say, the sewer fund, so we'll go back into the sewer fund?
Correct as well.
Excellent. We'll do a roll call, please.
Koch?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Chirulis?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Clocher?
Yes.
Breeders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you all. That's awesome.
Okay. A motion to approve a resolution approving a service agreement with BNSF Railway Company and Company to approve a resolution approving stipulated agreement with Illinois Commerce Commission and BNSF Railway Company, and to approve an ordinance approving the easement agreement for the roadway construction, maintenance, and use of Mill Road, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
There's a second?
Second.
By Peterson. Okay, so my understanding is these are the last things we need as far as land acquisition agreements in order to do the ultimate Mill Road project whenever we get the money. Is that correct? Where's Brad? Is he here?
That's correct, Mr. Mayor.
There, I got you on the mic too. Nice. Thank you. Excellent. Anyone else have questions or comments on this? Roll call, please.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Chirulis?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Clocher?
Yes.
Breeders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Excellent. So I think that's it for public works, correct?
Correct.
Okay, I want to make another comment before we go to the admin committee report. I see Christy, Aaron, and Carrie are here. So you all be aware, I'm going to get you to talk before this meeting's over, even if it's just to say hi. So I keep making notes. I want everyone to see that we're all participating. So, admin committee, I think that's Mr. Funkhauser, correct?
That is.
Please.
All right, Treasurer's reports for April 2020. I'll make a motion to approve the Treasurer's reports for April 2020.
The second?
Second.
I heard Milshewski. All in favor, signify by yes.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
All right. Make a motion to approve a resolution authorizing the closure of a checking account with First National Bank, Parks and Recreation Bank account, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second that motion.
Seconded by Peterson. Rob, why don't you just tell us about this briefly so people understand?
Sure, what we're doing is we're going to consolidate the park rent bank account with the city's main depository bank account with all the other city departments, mainly for operational efficiencies, three of which are listed in the memo. And just also to reiterate, there'll be no structural change for park and rent. Fund 79 will still be Fund 79. Park and rec money will still be park and rec money. It'll just be housed or commingled with the city's other funds.
Okay. Any questions? We'll do a roll call.
Cerullis?
Yes.
Shanzier?
Yes.
Kosher?
Yes.
Breeders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Yes.
Polk?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
All right, admin 2020-35, I'll make a motion to approve an ordinance amending the Yorkville City Code, Title 1, Chapter 7, Section 3, contracts and purchases, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Second by Milshewski. Bart, do you want to talk about this briefly?
Carrie's on.
Oh, Carrie, that's right. This is a perfect opportunity. Sorry. Carrie. I blew it. Good. I get to cross your name off now, too. This is awesome.
Well, thank you. So the last time this was discussed was back in January when we had a long list of surplus items that were barely above $500 that the council had discussed raising the limit to a more feasible amount that, and it was suggested of $5,000. So this code is updating and adding the surplus information with regard to a $5,000 residual value of any city property, as well as also including any real estate as well. Previously, we did not have any real estate in the code, so this would help if we were to sell any real estate owned by the city for future. We would have something in the code for internal processes to help us guide the future sale of that. We also went through the code and looked through a couple other items, one being the business registration that was implemented in 2008. However, it really was never fully launched and utilized by all the local businesses. So that is something that we are taking out of the code, and also adding in the IGA agreements and cooperative purchases between other municipalities and other governmental agencies to be able to piggyback off of their contracts or use other cooperatives such as Sourcewell or NGPA and other cooperatives to where we could piggyback off of other larger governmental agreements. This is also included in the state of Illinois contract as well. So it covers three main items right now, and I'd be welcome to answer any questions if you have any.
Mr. Funkhauser?
Oh, no comments on it.
Thank you. Other members of the council? Mr. Frieders?
My only question was the section for cooperative purchasing due to the increase in shared services, joint purchasing, and purchasing cooperatives. I got all that, but the example totally crossed my eyes. So if the final bid is $50,000 for Oswego and the document allows add-ons, Yorkville could then vote to approve a $40,000 contract for tree trimming with the same vendor under an intergovernmental agreement. Can you just give me a different example, because that one did not sit well with the old...
Sure. So a prime example would be, well, a most recent one that we'll probably be working on would be seal coating parking lots. So if Oswego were to release a bid for seal coating and they get a square footage or linear footage price, and Yorkville just quite is not ready to bid that yet because we haven't got the scope of work altogether or for budgetary reasons, then what we could do then is piggyback off of Bill's, or I'm sorry, off of Oswego's, and obtain that square footage or linear foot rate and not have to rebid it ourselves. So if someone else is already doing the work, which in my case I would be doing it at both sides, if we are already doing it in one, we can piggyback off another. This also goes in line for like Joliet, Naperville, Montgomery, North Aurora, any of those agencies that have piggybacking clauses. If they were to do a bid that is something that we have a similar, very close to scope of work, then we can piggyback off of that as long as it doesn't go outside of the scope of work. So it's not a project-based, it's more of a service or maintenance-based situation that this would apply to.
Okay, so even if the dollar amount was over the $20,000 or $25,000 we're talking about, we're still gonna discuss that, but it's something that's
correct.
Not.
Yes,
so we
will come back to you for discussion, yes.
You could go, hey, look at what they're doing, and then rather than starting from scratch, we can hop on there, but we still, as a council, can make the decision.
Yes, absolutely correct.
Explanation, high five, truce, okay, or Zoom, whatever.
Other questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Chanzier?
Yes.
Bocher?
Yes.
Breeders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Tarulis?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you very much. Mr. Funkhauser?
All right. Admin 2020-36, I make a motion to approve a resolution approving the revised fund balance policy and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Second by Peterson. Who wants to explain this one, Bart? You or Rob?
Defer to Rob.
I defer to Rob, is what he said.
Rob, well, I'd be happy to explain it.
Thank you, Rob, for being happy.
So this is just adding some contingency language to our existing fund balance policy. It gives council the option, but not the obligation, to set a contingency amount based on the total general fund appropriated budget. Anywhere from zero, which is essentially no contingency, all the way up to 10%. In order to utilize the contingency, which would be for unforeseen or unbudgeted expenditures, as the name indicates, require a formal budget amendment. So council approval would be necessary, and any unspent funds at the end of the year would fall back to fund balance.
Questions or comments?
I just have the one.
Who? I think I saw Mr. Frieders or heard him, and I saw Mr. Funkhauser. Please.
How does this, or does this impact our minimum fund balance policy? Does it impact it at all?
No, it would still be 30%.
Okay.
General fund.
And then this is a 0 to 10% of, or do you have in here what the specified amount would be?
Well, you can set it at any amount you want, between 0 and 10%. So, I mean, it could be anywhere from zero, and based on this year's budget, which is just shy of $17 million, $16.9 million, you could set it as high as, you know, $1.69 million if you wanted to, according to the policy revision.
And then, I guess my question is, and when I wrote out my question, it didn't make any sense, so I figured I'd just stop writing it out and try to stick all up here. So, we've got the 30% fund balance policy. We've got the potential 10% contingency.
As a part
in the off chance that we don't, or that we end up using the contingency, which is, you know, let's say it's full 10% right off the top, that takes us down to say 90% left in our backup for the year. and knowing all the things that are happening, I'm kind of wondering at what point do those two policies kind of intersect? Because all of the information that I'm kind of reading every couple of weeks when we're talking about the update to the budget, so most numbers are going downward. For some reason, MFT is still relatively pleasant. I guess my big question is, when do these two policies kind of intersect, and is there a reason why we wouldn't have already had this kind of in place?
Well, I mean, the fund balance policy of 30% is the bottom line. Mm-hmm. So if we had a contingency in there, we would still target to have fund balance at 30% at the end of the fiscal year.
Doesn't affect.
So I guess that's kind of how those two interact. Essentially, what the contingency is it's just adding a little cushion to the budget should there be any sort of unforeseen or unexpected, you know, expense throughout the fiscal year. But regardless of what that contingency amount is, we would still target our bottom line at 30% or higher pursuant to the fund balance policy.
Yeah, I'm sorry that I'm so fuzzy on this. It could just be the fact that
it's just a line item in the budget.
If I come up with any more inventive questions to try to better understand it myself, I'll throw them at you. So thanks, Rob.
Sure.
Mr. Frieders, one thing to keep in mind is the fund balance is like a, when you think of like a business, for example, that's part of the balance sheet where you have your cash on hand, your assets, your liabilities, where the contingency is a profit and loss item, essentially. It's an expense line. So I understand your confusion, but they're really two, they hit two different parts of the financial statements. And the contingency, if it is not spent, to Rob's point, it would contribute to that fund balance. And I don't know if that clarifies it, but that's one way I look at it. They affect two different financial statements.
I'm getting closer every day.
Mr. Funkhauser, I saw your hand earlier.
Yes, so this has a range that we can apply. I know this year's budget has a very small number in it of, I think, about $80,000. So that's far from the max that we could go to, $1.96 million, which is the 10%. Now that 10%, if we're doing 30% fund balance, that adds another $500,000 to the fund balance. My concern is if we do go to that 10%, if we ever start approaching those larger numbers, we're just padding the fund balance, we're padding the contingency in football program.
Okay.
I know that it would be nice to have a slush fund contingency, but we have a fund balance for a reason. It's, you know, in order for us to be able to operate if we have any issues such as we're having right now. We have months that we could go on, but to have the contingency here, the fact that we still have to go through a budget amendment, it has to be brought forward to council, that's what we do now if we have things that come up. If our fund balance or our budget is performing well and we have the ability to spend it, we will look at that. But I'm not keen on having another line item that adds anywhere to the tune of $1.9 million and then would also increase our fund balance at the same time. So I don't see that this is necessary at this point, and I don't think that I would be supporting it.
That's fine. Thank you for your comments. And, you know, again, if you're not in favor of trying to save money, I can understand that. The other thing to keep in mind is, and some of this is just philosophical difference, the one thing I noticed over the last year is whenever we had something pop up, we did a budget amendment. But many times that increased the total spending. The one thing the contingency does, it should allow us, if we budget properly, and you know we have years like this where we don't know what's going to happen, but it should allow us to keep under the budgeted total expenses. And what I've seen is over the past year, there's times where we would make a budget amendment, we would increase the total expenses. My feeling is this. I've never been a big fan of budget amendments, quite frankly. I think whatever you budget for your expenses, you should try to stick within those. This would allow you, if something does come up, this would allow you to act on that, but still stay within the original budget expenses that the city council authorized. And so part of it's just a philosophical difference.
Right.
But this is just the way I like doing the budget. So, and quite honestly, you already passed it. This is just really policy dictating how this, how the city council would have oversight on this. So, other questions or comments? Mr. Frieders.
So you're helping to paint the picture, Mr. Mayor. So I think with your description of this kind of being a little bit of a, you know, plus or minus whatever to allow some wiggle, where we're not constantly looking back at the budget and making these amendments, which granted we have been winning those CAFR awards, or not me personally, Rob's all Rob, because Rob's the guy, but this would basically allow us to kind of keep on track with what we had assumed the budget would be on the top end without having to continually change it or edit it throughout the course of the year. But knowing that if we're gonna start creeping up towards that 10% mark on whatever particular line item it might be, that would cause us to have a little bit more deeper of a dive into why these numbers are so far out of whack and Rob is so horribly failed getting close to 10% difference in our budget.
But the contingency is a line item in your budget that they approved.
Somewhat. The contingency, again, the dollars, the way this is being proposed is, if I'm making this up, but let's say we decide we want to buy whatever it is, a new park bench, and it's going to be $50,000, and we don't have $50,000 budgeted. This year, you as a city council could say, you know what, we want to allocate $50,000 of that $80,000, bless you.
Thank you.
And we want to allocate that money for this pretty park bench, and then you could vote on it. But what it does do, it allows us to stay under, at least that's my hope, allows us to stay under the approved budget that's passed in March or April, whenever the city council passes it, under the total expenses. But this is just a line by itself. This is not a contingency for each individual line. This is a specific line in the budget.
Got it. Okay. Your picture has been painted. I think
good.
That's clear.
Good job.
Okay. Clear as mud.
No.
Sorry. Mr. Transier, you keep moving around. I see you over here, now you're up there. Go ahead.
If the city council is going to have the final say on what percentage we're going to vote on for this contingency, are we going to have some guidance, some recommendations that feel the administration or the finance department feels that 2%, 5%, or 8% is what's going to be recommended? What can we ask for? I'm concerned just about arbitrary numbers being thrown out. I'd like to have some justification as to why 2% is going to be used as the contingency as opposed to 5%.
Mr. Transier, I think I caught the bulk of your comments. You did go on mute at the end. Rob, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I would just say it would depend on, it'll be something that's addressed each year as part of the budget process. Mm-hmm. So whatever number we recommend as part of the draft budget, you know, that number, whether it's 1 or 2% or whatever percent, between 0 and 10 would be, followed by some sort of justification as to why we feel that's an appropriate number, sure.
So, sorry, did you have more, Mr. Transier? Okay, thank you. So again, to keep in mind, this is part of the budget process the council would approve, and this would allow, if we have certain lines that look like we might go over, certain things that come up unforeseen, it would allow us to shift some of this contingency money to address those particular line items. But again, this is something that the city council would have the final vote on. It's just, I think it gives us a little more flexibility within the budget. Did I hear someone, I don't know who?
You did, yes.
Oh, Mr. Funkhauser, there you are.
Yeah. If I could, the more I hear this conversation, if we're not budgeting for the items that we're talking about we might want to consider, if we're going to be making a recommendation on a certain percentage, it sounds like there might be projects that we're thinking about. This is truly arbitrary in terms of what we're considering throwing out there. The more I hear it, it's slush fund. Taking more from the taxpayers, as much as you say it's savings, we're just taking more from the taxpayers in order to do projects that we don't know what we want to do until we get around to them. I disagree with this wholeheartedly. This is what's wrong with government. Emphatically, that we are just going for things that we don't know what we're going to spend money on, and when we get around to figuring it out, we're going to spend the money. This is wrong. We should not be spending this kind of money. We shouldn't be asking for up to $1.9 million when we don't even know what we're going to want to use. I think this is just fundamentally wrong.
Mr. Plocher.
So what you're saying, Mr. Mayor, this would be for, it'd be like a salt shed that was brought to the town that we didn't foresee?
Mm-hmm. That's an example, absolutely. That is a good example. Other comments? We'll do a roll call, please.
Kocher?
Yes.
Frieders?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Milshewski?
She's muted.
Yes! Okay, here I am, yes!
She keeps moving.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
No.
Chirulis?
Yes.
Chanzier?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you all. Very good discussion. So, we are almost to the end of the meeting. Now, I get the opportunity to have a couple people have some conversation with us. Aaron, where are you, Aaron?
Right here.
Oh, there. You, now you're up there. You're moving all around. You all move around. Okay, Aaron, I just want to say I have all the documents signed, and they're on Lisa's desk. So thank you for getting those to me or whoever did. I appreciate it. But I think I signed one incorrectly. You'll have to verify for me, please.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So, anything else you have for us, Aaron?
Not this evening. No, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. And Christy, you disappeared. You were here earlier. Oh, there. You're right below me. Right below me. Boom. Okay, Christy, how's everything going? How's everything going with, like, the townhome project?
We haven't moved in on that yet. Still waiting to report the final plat, but everything is moving along.
Excellent. And I signed that document today, too. So, thank you very much. Excellent. Now, did everyone get a chance to comment from the city council, or I should say from the staff? Or did I miss anyone today? Is that everyone? Sweet. Oh, wait, Jensen. You didn't say anything. Do you have a mic on over there, Jensen? So, Jim is reporting that things are going very, very well.
There's a reason he doesn't have a mic, Mayor.
I forgot. Because he's here. So if you don't want to talk, you show up. Maybe you won't have to talk. That's a lesson here. Okay. Any other things? I feel like I'm missing some stuff. City Council, anything from the City Council?
There's a budget update.
Where? I'm missing a page here.
Here you go. We have a budget update, and we have a report in our packet.
Son of a gun. I'm like, this doesn't seem right. I was to the end of my meeting.
You forgot the Economic Development Committee report and the Public Safety report, too.
Well, do we have an Economic Development report?
No.
No report.
Fantastic. And how about Public Safety?
No report.
Thank you. I like that. You pimped me and then you have nothing to say. That's beautiful. So, I'm missing a whole page. I guess I grabbed the wrong. I got so many pieces of paper here. Wow. Okay, so, is there anything from the park board?
No report, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Is there anything? Oh, Chris, you had another chance. Is there anything from the Planning and Zoning Commission?
No report.
Fantastic. Oh, there, the City Council. We already asked. Is there anything else from the City Council?
I would like to thank Mr. Evans and the Parks and Recs Department for putting together the virtual May the 4th be with you 10K and rewarding my dominance.
That is fantastic. What did you win?
They are two gift certificates, one for Burnt Barrel Social and one for Rosas.
That's fantastic. You could run from one and run to the other and run back home, and that'd probably be about 10 or 5K or whatever the heck it was. Excellent.
10K.
Well, that's a long ways. Holy cow. Okay.
Have a comment, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, Mr. Frieders, please.
If you can let Chief Jensen know that I have a couple questions on the Blackberry Shore traffic email that he sent earlier, so I'll be reaching out to him tomorrow.
Did you then also, since the National Suicide Prevention and Action Month proclamation has technically been on hold, because let's focus on the now. Thankfully, as the reopenings are starting, I've been having a little bit more discussion with cities around the area to get these proclamations passed and have these discussions take place. Seeing as how the conversation around mental health, especially now, is becoming more and more important. We're seeing a lot of families that are stuck at home and they've never actually been at home this long before, and that can lead to a lot of uncomfortable conversations and situations. So, while a lot of people have been able to pivot in their profession and be able to do a little more work from home, a lot of people aren't as fortunate as we are. So I've been continuing my work with Hope for the Day, and we've been offering our normal in-person once-a-month education. That's usually on the third Saturday of every month at Logan Square Library in Chicago. We've been doing it twice a week virtually, Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and Saturdays at 2:30 p.m. The information regarding our education sessions, they are totally free. It's available at hftd.org. Click on Get Educated. It'll take you right there. Also, the reason why I wanted to bring this up is that tomorrow we are rolling out a variant for our educational program specific to law enforcement personnel, first responders, and military. That's called Project Red Team. That starts tomorrow at 1:30 p.m. And then we are also rolling out something called 86 to Silence, which is a food and beverage specific mental health conversation. And that is rolling out on June 1st, Monday at 1:30 p.m. All these information about these free mental health trainings are available at peervention.org, peervention.org. If you have any questions or concerns or just want to talk to me about anything, my email for Hope for the Day is joel@hftd.org. And if you want to yell at me about a pothole, it's joelfrieders.43@gmail.com. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I thought maybe you're going to give my email on that second comment.
It's forwarded automatically.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Thank you. Other members of the council have anything? No. City clerk, do you have anything?
No report.
Awesome. Community and liaison reports. Well, we just had one, somewhat. Thank you, Mr. Frieders. Staff reports, any staff reports? Ah, Mayor's report continued. This is the sheet, yeah, I was missing the budget update. And actually, that's going to come from either Rob or Bart. Which one? Bart volunteered, so I will turn the mic over to Bart.
Only a couple updates from the last city council meeting that I wanted to make sure to touch on. We did get monthly reports for income taxes, MFT and use taxes, middle of the month. Income taxes are as low on a month basis, but generally aligned by an alpha decimal. MFT, which we did not take a stab at estimating, is down about 20% from last year. And so that would be probably expected. Use tax for the 1 month from last year this year. Is slightly up. Our next big day for monitoring revenues is going to be the first week of June with March consumer sales.
Is that it?
Yeah. Thank you. That was hurting.
Okay.
We had an echo up here.
Yeah, we had an echo. We did, so I had to step aside. It was like a late Friday night or something like that. You know, when I can't sleep or anything. Okay. So, are there any questions for Bart on that? Excellent. Are there any items of additional business? We're doing well, people. I'm telling you, we're going to get through this. Things are improving. I'm excited about our opportunity still. There's still people wanting to do stuff in Yorkville, which is awesome. I'm really excited. And everybody's been pulling together. I know you're all on the same page of supporting businesses, and I love it. I really love it. And supporting just the people of the town, because they're the ones who support the businesses. So it's exciting. Even though it's tough times, it's exciting to see how we're all coming together on these things. Okay, are there citizen comments? Any citizen comments?
I think you've put them all to sleep.
Yeah, I do put people to sleep. And unfortunately, we will not be doing executive session tonight. I hope people other than Lisa aren't disappointed. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. Now, Jackie, was that a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second by, who was that second? Coke. That's right. All in favor? Yes?
Yes.
Opposed? No. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you all so much. Excellent meeting. I appreciate it.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Adios.
Have a good one.
Ciao. So long. Farewell. Auf Wiedersehen. Goodbye.